In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are. We're continuing with Volume 23, July 10th, 1928. And Louisa says, while I was writing, I felt I was getting sleepy and was not free to write. So that I thought to myself, why this sleepiness? Until now, so much vigil, such that if I wanted to sleep a little, I could not. And now all the opposite. How many changes one must go through? Now one way, now another. So here, what Jesus does with Louisa is what he does with us. He continues to let life continue, you know, his divine life. And it's always changing. It's always new. It's always a blessing. And with Louisa, she, you know, Jesus says to her, don't sleep. And she didn't sleep. And now all of a sudden she's getting sleepy. She's getting tired. She says, I'm not used to this. And it's the same thing with us. When we pray, sometimes what happens is it's a new beginning that happens for us. Prayer becomes different. A lot of people say, well, how do you pray in the divine will? How do we do this? And our prayer life has changed. We've learned from the saints how to pray, and now Jesus is showing us through Louisa how to pray. So when we look at the Echo Book is Jesus. It's every prayer that Jesus taught Louisa, and in this Echo Book, what happens is you begin to learn how to pray in the divine will, and a lot of people have made up their own prayers. A lot of people begin to say, well, this is the divine will. The way I'm praying is the divine will. And that's not exactly correct. The way we learn how to pray in the divine will is to be taught by Jesus as Louisa was taught by Jesus. And so, you know, we put together the Echo Book. Why? So that you could go through all the prayers that Jesus taught Louisa in the 36 volumes and begin to think from a divine perspective, not a human perspective, not a saintly perspective. And we say, well, I used to pray. Oh, I used to be able to pray so well. And now there's a deadness, if you want to say. There's something is lacking. Something is missing. In reality, it's not missing. It's Jesus is saying, okay, you've learned this. Now we got to go to the next step. It's continuous for all eternity. We're going to learn from our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, and our Mother Mary how to pray in a new and powerful way, as Our Lady said to Louisa, I'm going to teach you the way of heaven and no longer the way of earth. And the way the saints have taught us is a saintly way, a good way, a holy way, but done in the human will, not in the divine will. And so now Jesus is showing us that we're going to learn how to live in the divine will, not just do the divine will as the saints have taught us. And so it's a new beginning that's coming for all of us, and not to get upset about it. Jesus basically says, this is what I'm going to show you. This is what I'm going to teach you. It's like, you know, having a little child always at home, and then one day the mother takes the child to the grocery store first time. And the child goes, what is this? You know, and that's what happens with us in the divine will. Jesus is always leading us, always guiding us. He's always revealing to us his divine majesty. He shows us glimpses of it. And the glimpses, we've talked about this before, but like with St. Francis wanted to hear the music of heaven. And the angel said, we can't do this. It's so beautiful that you would die. It's so, he said, well, can I hear one note? So one note was given to St. Francis, and he was in ecstasy for 3 days. it's the same thing here. God is so gentle with us. He doesn't want to overwhelm us. So little by little, he's leading us. Little by little, he's guiding us. He's directing us. And that's what he's asking of us. He's asking us to really begin to allow him, the Lord God Almighty, to show us a new and divine way of holiness, as Pope John Paul II said at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. We're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. So the prayers of the past, they're beautiful, holy, and saintly. But Jesus is now going to teach us how to do something in a divine manner. So with this, she says, I was getting sleepy. I was not free to write. What is this sleepiness? What's this new way of living, basically? And at that moment, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, do not be surprised. Okay, so this is the thing that the Lord says to us as well. When we read the Book of Heaven, we're amazed by what God is showing us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. He said, if Adam did not fail, if Adam did not sin, Jesus says, I would have taught him what I'm teaching you, Louisa. Okay, so what Jesus is teaching Louisa and now teaching us, the saints don't know about when they were on earth, because it wasn't time. Louisa's the one who received this great gift, and now God is going to say to us, I'll give you as much as you want, you know, 30, 60, or 100-fold, but you have to do the work. What does that mean? We have to read. We have to study it. We have to put this into practice. And the next time you read it, there's even more that God is showing. And the next time you read it, there's even more that God is showing. Why? He expands our capacity to the point of overflowing. And then he says to Louisa, like a balloon, he keeps on expanding the balloon, expanding us to fill us with more. And what's coming is so magnificent. What's coming is so glorious. This is the thing that we have to understand. The 6,000 years of Satan ruling the king of the earth, 2,000 years ago, Jesus conquered the king. He was victorious. The king of the earth was no longer in charge of the earth. God freed us from the slavery to the devil. And now 2,000 years later, now that Our Lady of Revelation says to us, time has now come to an end, Jesus is saying, you have to get ready for the kingdom. Now is my time. That's why John Paul II said, get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. It's to begin to live this Catholic life, this universal life, the way God originally planned for mankind to possess this life, image and likeness of God. So what the Lord is doing is, he's taking us to the grocery store for the first time. I mean, we're like amazed. What is this? You know, why all this? You know, and Jesus just tells us, he says, don't be surprised. God is going to surprise us for all eternity. This is why St. Thomas Aquinas says we'll be in the awe of God. I mean, just God is so great, so beautiful, so holy. He's pure love, and we're going to participate in this abundant life. So what Jesus is asking us to do is he's asking us to listen to what he says to Louisa, and then be aware that things are going to be different. Don't be surprised, he says. My divine fiat wants to take its dominion in all the human acts. Now, we just heard about the dominion of the voting booths. There was a different dominion. Jesus says, I'm going to be the dominion. I'm going to, my divine fiat is going to dominate. Why? Now it's the Lord's time to reign. And that's why he says to each and every one of us, what are you thinking? What are you saying? What are you doing? What are you avoiding to do? What is your life all about? This is what we say when we go to confession. Because he's saying, I have to give you what you're working for. I have to give you what you're living for. Is it for the glory of God, or is it selfish, self-centered? Are you becoming egotistical? Jesus says, I have to give you what you want. The worst thing in the world, Jesus tells us, is wanting what our human will wants. I mean, that's just human. Jesus says, I'm calling you, as the priest puts a drop of water in the chalice every day, I'm calling you to share in divinity. That's what we have to remember. This battle that's going on in our lives, this war that's happening all around us, in the church, in our nations, in the world, everything is, Jesus is saying, well, I have to give you what you want. You know, I can't interfere with your free will. So he's trying to teach us through Louisa how to not be surprised, to recognize that God is going to be in charge. He's going to be our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King in a way that we never anticipated. To participate in God, to be in God's image and likeness. This is what God wants. So he looks at us and he says, you know, are you having difficulty? And we go, yeah, there's some difficulties. He says, read what I said to Louisa. I'll explain everything to you. This is one of the things that's so astonishing. All our questions are answered as we read the Book of Heaven. When we read the Book of Heaven, and this is what's, you'll see this. You'll come to a point where you'll say, I don't know about that. I'm not sure. And Jesus says, just keep on reading. It's like a mother and father teaching their child. Just don't worry. You're gonna learn how to ride this bicycle. Just keep on going. You're gonna fall. You know, it's gonna be tricky. It's gonna be scary, but I'm gonna take care of it. The father and mother say to the child. When we trust in God, when we believe in God, when we hope in God, when we have confidence in God, what happens at that point is God takes care. He begins to reveal to us the truths, the promises, the manifestations that he has given to Louisa. And he knows, as the Word of God, he knows which words we're going to read. He knows the questions that we have. And you'll read a few pages, and I guarantee you, within a very short time, there's your answer to your question. And if you're a stick in the mud, if you're saying, I'm not moving until I understand this, God goes, fine. And a lot of people quit the divine will because they say, my questions are not being answered. I want to know now. I mean, we're demanding from God. And God says, no, you know, I'm going to teach you, but there's certain things that he has to do. It's like a wild horse. It's got to be controlled. You got to break that wildness that's in us. That's our human will. And so what's happening here is, and it's so beautiful. My divine fiat wants to take its dominion in every thought, every word, every deed that you do. See, it's not just to be about being good and holy and saintly. That's what we've learned for the last 2,000 years. Now Jesus is saying, I want you to enter into sanctification. I want you to enter into this sacrament of sacraments. I want you to enter into this life that I breathed into Adam in the beginning, image and likeness of God. This life, Jesus says, that I breathe into Louisa. And now through Louisa, we can begin to understand how to live this abundant life. So she says, Jesus says basically very, very clearly, it wants, the divine fiat wants everything to be its property, its territory. Why? Is God selfish? Is God self-centered? No. He wants to share with you his divinity. And if God doesn't possess it, it's not his. So the whole understanding of breathing, you breathe in, you breathe out. He wants to breathe in us the Spirit of God, this rule of God. He wants to breathe in us this abundant life. And then what he wants from us is to capture it, to possess it, and then give it back to God what is God's? So what can we give to God? It's what he gives to us. He's the creator. We can't create. He's the creator, and he wants us to breathe this in so that we can give this back to him from a divine perspective, not a human perspective any longer. He says that to Louisa. He says, even the good and holy and saintly things that were done, if not done in the divine will, he says, it's not for God. So what do we have to do? As little children of the holy divine will, we are called to take everything, all that the saints have done, and to redo it in the divine will. Our job is to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. This is what we do with the prevening act in the morning and our actual acts throughout the day. We want to fuse ourselves with a triune God. We want to have that relationship that God wanted from us from the beginning of time. So how do we do this? Jesus shows us it's through what he, the Son of God, the Mother of God, Theotokos, Mary, and what they've given to Louisa. The human born of original sin now possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is to go back to the image and likeness of God. So what is so glorious about this is that God is breathing into us. And so we begin to recognize that every breath that we take, we say, I want to breathe in the divine will. Why? I want every thought, every word, every deed that you have placed in me, you have given to me, freely given to me, that I can freely give it to you because you, Lord, are doing it in, with, through, and for me. So we fuse ourselves with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa to fuse ourselves with the divine will, but that's not the only thing. Now God wants us to fuse ourselves with all of creation because that's ours. Everything in creation belongs to us. And there's one sun in the sky, but Jesus tells Louisa that when we do our acts and our rounds in the divine will, we have multiple suns within us. It's to be in God's likeness, to do what God is doing. So as we learn how to do this little by little, he says, don't be surprised. My fiat, my divine fiat, wants to take its dominion in all that you think, say, and do. It wants everything to be divine property, divine territory. So we begin to see that this 6,000 years of the king of this earth, Jesus said, the ruler of this earth, is over. Now, you think about it. You think about when Pope Leo the 13th heard the devil say, give me 100 years to destroy your church. Why didn't he say 1,000 years? Because he knew his time was coming to an end. Give me the last 100 years to destroy your church. God says it's yours. Why? God wins. The kingdom is coming. The new era is beginning. This is what's coming for all the world. And that's why God is saying to each and every one of us, I have to give you what you want. Well, be careful. What are you thinking? What are you saying? What are you doing? All right, what are you not doing? What is God calling you to do? And you're avoiding his call, your mission. So Jesus is saying to us through Louisa, don't be surprised what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you, listen, to share in my divinity. I mean, this is how we're supposed to live. That's why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno in 1947, my children are going to enter into eternity where they belong. And he says, Lucifer and his children will always be trapped in time and space, never being able to embrace the beatific vision. See, that's where we're going. See, God wants us to see God and live, to experience God. Jesus said in volume 36, your senses were made for God. You're where to see God, to hear God, to smell God, to touch God, to taste God. That's why we were created. to participate in him. So that's why he says very, very clearly, he says, everything has to be the divine property of God. Every thought, every word, every deed. The divine territory of God. Every thought, every word, every deed. So if he is in charge of our life, what is happening? He's in charge of our life. Don't be surprised when things begin to change. And things are going to change drastically. And for the good, not for the bad. All this doom and gloom that's out there, Our Lady said, it's going to be good for some, it's going to be bad for most. If you say, the saint said, those that survive will envy the dead. They're the ones that don't want God. They're going to envy. They would rather be dead than live without God. They don't want God. And what's coming is the kingdom. The fire from heaven is symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This fire of the love of God is coming upon the earth. And what our Lord is saying, I'm going to consume the world in love. And yes, it's going to be bad for those who don't want Jesus. It's going to be horrible for those who don't want Jesus. It's going to be, you know, they would wish that they were dead. They don't want it. They don't want to. You don't want to experience the love of God and not want it. That's hell. So great things are coming. Great things are happening. And this is what the Lord says. It is jealousy that even one comma may be taken away from it. What is Jesus saying? Everything that you're writing, Louisa, even the comma is planned by God. When we read and we come to a pause, Jesus says, think about it. Now I'm going to give you more. I'm going to share with you more than what I just told you. That's our God. Our God is an infinite lover who wants us to participate, one with him, fused with him. So yes, we begin in the morning with our pre-evening act, fusing ourselves with the Holy Trinity. And the Father says to us, how are you going to do this? And we say, the way you have shown us through the new Adam Jesus, the new Eve Mary, with the newborn Louisa. So I want to fuse myself with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Now, this coming weekend, we have the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Our job, as little children of the Holy Divine Will, is to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So our job is not just to say about our family, you know, Lord Jesus, you know, I consecrate my family to you. Blessed Mother, I consecrate my family to you. Jesus says the pagans care about their family. He says, I want you to care about my family, my children. And so in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, we want to consecrate everyone to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And then we use what Jesus taught Louisa, the command prayer. And we say, take this prayer, take this humble petition, and Lord, let it be your command. That's all that's necessary, is we surrender everything to God, because he says, I want everything to be its divine property, divine territory, even our prayer. Jesus, you pray in my praying. You lead me, you guide me, you direct me. And Jesus says, do you really want that? See, there's always a conversation between us and the Lord. He's always talking. He's the Word. And say, when we say to him, I want to surrender to you, he says, how are you going to do it? That's good, but how are you going to do it? And then when we go, well, I want to follow the prayers of St. Gertrude. God goes, that's good, but how do I want you to do it? And you go, through Louisa? And he goes, absolutely. Louisa possesses the new era, the abundant life, the sharing in divinity. This is what God is asking of us. Are you willing to participate in this abundant life? Are you willing to do this? And when we say, yes, Lord, he says, prove it. He just doesn't say, okay, I take you at your word. He says, you got to be tested. I mean, that's the fourth part when we go through the six stages of living in the divine will that Our Lady taught Luisa in the first 6 days. You have to be tested. And again, it's not just one test. It's a continuous test. What are you thinking? What are you saying? What are you doing? What are you not doing? What are you fulfilling the mission that Jesus has given to you? The office that Jesus has given to you? Are you working with the angels? Are you working with the saints? Are you repairing for all that the saints have done? Humanly, saintly, good, holy. But are you repairing it to a divine manner so that the saints can participate, like Jesus says, with a double heaven, as we repair and redo and do what the Lord has taught in Luisa. This is a glorious time. So he says this: it is jealous that even one comma may be taken away from it. Everything that Luisa has written is important for us. And he's saying, are you focusing on this? Now, we have to remember what St. Padre Pio said. St. Padre Pio said that in the third millennium, the world and the church will focus on Luisa Picaretta. You know, think about that. If you're hunting, I know some people don't like hunting, but, you know, go to the supermarket. Don't hunt. Some people don't like hunting, but when you're hunting and you're looking through a scope, you're focused. Everything else is around you, but you're focused on the object. Jesus, St. Padre Pio said, this is what the world is going to do with Luisa. The world and the church is going to focus on Luisa. Everything else is going to be there, but Jesus is saying, I want you to see what I have done with this soul. And then he says to us, I want you to participate in what I've given to this soul. And that's what's so amazing about this gift, that our Lord has planned this. He has predestined us to live at this time, to possess this gift. So he says this. Therefore, just as it has taken its dominion in your vigil, okay, what we've been doing before, all that we have learned for the short time that we've been reading Luisa, all that you've learned, once you've put it into practice, he says, which has taken its dominion in your vigil, you're working itself together with you in order to place, listen to this, the seal of its fiat. So God wants to mark us, and this is what he says. He says there will be a worldwide catastrophe, a chastisement, that the large majority of humanity will be gone. He said, but my mother is marking all the little children, sealing all the children, branding all the children that we belong to Jesus and Mary. She's the one that's doing this throughout the world. So if you're praying your rosary, if you're wearing your scapular, if you're attending First Saturday Masses, which Our Lady has asked at Fatima, you've basically been sealed. You know, it's the beginning of this life, this true life of Jesus and Mary reigning in us. And then from that, what's going to happen is more is going to be given. And so that's why he says, you're going to be, in order to have the seal of its first, of its fiat as its dominion and property. We belong to Jesus and Mary. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice through what Jesus taught Luisa, it becomes more of what God has planned. And so what does he say? Those that are sealed, those that are marked by my mother, blessed by my mother, Jesus says, the chastisement will have little or no effect upon them. And then the fourth thing is the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children, the holy divine will. What does that mean? That means, as what Our Lady said, it's going to be good for some, it's going to be bad for most. God has to give everybody what they want. And if we're faithful and obedient to Christ and his church, I mean, confession is essential. It has to be our life, as our Catholic life. We have to recognize that through the absolution of the priest, We are freed from our sin. God forgives and he forgets our sins. We might have to go through the temporal punishment due to sin, but he frees us. This is why he's calling us to share in his divinity. And so if we are not examining our life and repenting of our sin, the unforgivable sin is the sin not confessed. To confess your sin is to be free of it, or it's a long time in purgatory. And that's why Jesus has said that the majority of people who die go to purgatory. Many go to hell, but very few, when they die, go to heaven. Because you have to be freed of all that is opposed to God. So that's why confession is so essential for us. It's everything. And the more that we make that part of our Catholic life, the happier Jesus is, the happier we are. Because what he's doing is he's freeing us of this slavery that we are in because of the king of this earth, the Lord of this earth. See, that's why Jesus comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's freeing us from the slavery to the devil, and now he's going to free us even more to enter into this abundant life. Now, remember, when the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, the evil one has been banished from heaven. So when heaven comes to earth, he's going to be banished from earth. What does that mean for us? What does that mean? It means the kingdom's here. It means we're going to be freed of the slavery to the evil one. You know, a lot of people are addicted. We have an addictive personality, whether it's food or television or whatever. I am one, like I said before, my one friend, she was addicted to complaining. That's all she could do was complain. She went to church every day. She prayed the rosary every day. She wore the scapular every day. But everything was oppressive to her. And I remember at her deathbed, she was still complaining. And I said, you know, you gotta turn away from this. You're going to spend she's a good soul, but she's going to spend a long time in purgatory for every thought, every word, every deed of complaining. She had to be free of that. You see, so now we can help everyone by standing in the breach for all mankind to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. See, the whole world is going to be repaired. That's the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics, enkindle us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. How? As we repair and redo. Jesus says it's going to look as if Adam never sinned. What horror the evil one is going to go through, recognizing that everything that he did was of no value. God repairs and redo. He does this through the humans. That's what's going to be so embarrassing, that he's going to be in the pit of hell with his tail between his legs. The evil one, why? God is going to show that humans are not going to be seduced by you any longer. And that thousand-year reign that's coming, he's going to come out and everybody's going to go, get away. We're with God. We're one with God. God has our property, our territory in us. We are sealed by the Blessed Mother. We have God's dominion, and we are God's property. See, so God is asking us to begin this now, to begin this life now, not after we die. So he says, I rose from the dead. Why? So that we can rise from our human misery. So he says this. So the divine will wants to place the seal of its fiat upon your sleep as property on everything and of our life, every thought, every word, every deed. of its eternal rest, of its property of its eternal rest. And what is the eternal rest? I mean, it's not, you know, pushing up daisies. Eternal rest is the seventh day where God is going to rest in man and man is going to rest in God. This is paradise. This is Eden. This is heaven. This is where we're going. That's why Our Lady said to Bruno, my children are going to be in the eternity, the eternal rest. It's not death. It's life. One with God, fused with God in his holy divine will. This is what God has placed on us, the seal of Our Lady. So it wants to place its seal of its fiat upon everything, your sleep, your work, your study, your reading, your praying. God says, I want the seal of my fiat on everything that you do. Why? This is the life of God. When God said, fiat lux, let there be light, everything began in the universe. When Our Lady said, fiat mihi, the incarnation took place. God became man. And now what's happening with the fiat voluntas through Luisa, everything that we own, everything that we think, everything that we say, we're placing in the hands of God. Again, remember this Friday and Saturday, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Spend that day, because God is speaking to you the whole day. Spend that day from the morning to the evening as the Lord is revealing to you. He'll say to you, I want you to help these people out here that you didn't think of before. And you go, how do I do that? And he goes, repair for them. As if they were doing it. Pray, repair, pray, and let them, let your prayer, let their prayer come from them with your voice. See, Jesus says everything is going to look as if Adam never sinned. That's heaven. That's heaven. So this is what God is doing. He says, the divine fiat wants to find all of its similarities. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that everything that we think, say, and do has to be of God. Of God, not of us. So we're saying to Jesus, Jesus, think in my thinking. Jesus, this is our prevening act. Jesus, pray in my praying. Jesus, dance in my dancing. Sing in my singing. Whatever we're thinking, saying, and doing, I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. I want the fiat of God that you breathed into Adam, to breathe it into me so that I can have what you want for mankind. I can be one with Luisa, having the true life of the new Adam and of the new Eve. That's what Jesus is waiting for. He's waiting for us to say, yes, I want what God wants. I want what the Lord wants, not what I want. I want what God wants. So this is what he says. It wants to find all its similarities. It's incessant work. Okay, every thought, word, and deed. That the divine fiat gave you the vigil, okay? What we've learned to this point. The Lord is in charge of everything that you've studied so far. And you're saying to the Lord, let it reign in me the way you want it. As you taught Luisa, teach me. As you showed Luisa, show me so that I can accomplish what you, God, want. And that's the true life of the new Adam, true life of the new Eve, Mary. And so what happens at this point is he says very clearly that it gave you in the vigil. It makes you embrace everything. That's what Jesus did. That's what Mary did. Repairing and redoing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that when you pray, God hears all mankind praying with your voice. And God says, everyone is praying the way I want them to. See, we're the ones that are repairing and redoing. And there will be souls that won't want this. There will be souls that will say, I don't care what you do. I don't want to participate in this. God says, fine, I have to give you what you want, and that's hell. So with everyone else, God says, do you want to participate in this from a divine perspective? So that everything that you think, say, and do, all mankind becomes the divine property, the divine territory of God. God within, through, and for us as we are within, through, and for God. This is what's coming. It's a new era that God is going to give to all the world. And he's looking at us. He says, I can't find anybody else. Nobody wants to read the divine will. Nobody wants to learn what I taught Louisa. He says, will you do it? Will you do it for everybody else? And when we say yes, he goes, good. Then we could get the kingdom here sooner. God, this is God's whole plan, is the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So the true life of Jesus on Calvary, the true life of Mary on Calvary is given to us. And Jesus says, would you be willing to do this as I did this? That doesn't mean we have to be crucified like Jesus. No one could take what Jesus went through. But again, we all suffer, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. We all are suffering. And Jesus says, will you link that with me on Calvary? Would you link that with my mother on Calvary as Louisa did? Would you help bring about this great conversion, this great transformation, this great transmutation that's coming upon the earth? Would you be willing to do this? And when we say yes, God goes, good. So he says, it makes you embrace everything. It gives you its divine immensity. It makes you sleep. It gives you its eternal rest. That seventh day, it's not death. It's life. The seventh day, resting in God and God in us. Finally, after 7,000 years, Jesus is saying, my life that I breathed into Adam is begun in humanity. I redeemed mankind. My mother co-redeemed with me. And now humanity is going to share in divinity. So in sum, the divine fiat must be able to say and do whatever I, what this is what we're saying, whatever I do by myself in my divine will, I must be able to do together with my little daughter. So the divine will, this is God, whatever I do by myself in my divine will, I must be able to do it together with my little daughter, because Louisa gives me dominion over everything. Louisa gives me dominion over everything, and everything becomes my divine will. So what's happening is we're sharing in divinity. This is why God created us. Not to be separate humans, you know, running around on earth, you know, having fun. It's to be one with God, fused with God in his holy divine will, participating in, with, through, and for the Lord as the Lord is participating in, with, through, and for us. It's mutual possession. This is why he calls heaven the wedding feast. This is why we wear the ring. It's to say to God, you are my spouse, and I belong to you totally. And you belong to me totally. We become one. That's what God's waiting for. He's got great plans, and he's asking us in this time to begin to live this abundant life. He's asking us to do this. And he's saying, it can happen now if you wish. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, that we all become divinely healed. And we pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you and have a great day.